Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
And our Father, we thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for all that You've done in our lives. And now, Father, as we bring the word today that You've laid upon our heart, Father, that it would be anointed, Father, it would go forth, it would touch hearts and lives. Lives would be changed. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to talk today about the future. You know, when we hear that word, we think a lot of things that are yet to come. And that's basically what it is. It's the things that have not yet arrived. Maybe it's something that's going to be in the near future. Maybe we're thinking about what we're going to do tomorrow. That's thinking about the future. Or maybe it's a future that's several years or sometimes many years down the road. Like planning for your future. You know, they talk a lot about as you are become an adult that you need to plan for your future retirement, for the things that lay ahead of you. And so we do a lot of planning. And the future can represent a lot of other things. And I know when I was a kid, some of my favorite TV programs were things regarding things of the future. What someone had envisioned might happen in the future. And there were programs such as Space Patrol and Commander Buzz Corey and Buck Rogers. And Buck Rogers was also a radio character and a cartoon character or comic strip character. Flash Gordon was the same. I enjoyed watching some of those programs. And of course, several years later, there was a television show. It was a cartoon show called The Jetsons. And The Jetsons were living in the future. And some of us are still waiting for those flying cars that they had in The Jetsons. I'm not sure I'd really want to partake with one of those. And of course, there were a number of books that were written by various authors, such as Jules Verne, Robert Heinlein, Andre Norton. Now, I'll have to say I don't read science fiction books much anymore because, unfortunately, so many of them became vulgar in what they planned as far as their language and everything else. But some of these books that were written many, many years ago, some of them over 100 years ago, give us something to dream about. Some of these writers imagined a future that was something that they would probably like to have seen happen, possibly. And some of the things that they've written about have come to pass in our present day. And, for example, I remember one book that I read that described, it was a short story, I believe, but it described a house and where there were really no windows in the house, just large video screens. And these video screens portrayed what you wanted to see out your window. For example, you could be living in the middle of the desert. If you wanted to look out the window and see the beach, you could have a beach scene portrayed on your video screen window. And when you looked at it, you would think you were at the beach. And today, we're in a situation now where a few years ago, and I think it was probably about 2 or 3 years ago, I'm not sure the exact date, a 110-inch television came out on the market. Now, a 110-inch television is approximately a 9-foot diagonal screen television. Many walls and rooms are not quite that wide, so it wouldn't even fit in some rooms. And now they have a 262-inch television that's getting ready to be released. And that's roughly about a 22-foot diagonal screen. Now, I'll have to say you'd have to be a millionaire, plus a little bit, to be able to afford one of those. But with it, you could have a picture of anything you wanted to look at. And that's what the future holds in some people's minds. George Orwell wrote a book titled 1984. Well, that was over 30 years ago. But in his book, which was written in 1949, he describes a future whose themes center on the risks of government outreach, or overreach rather, totalitarianism, and a repressive regimentation of all persons and behaviors within society. The book over the years has been banned several times and even had lawsuits filed against it. Yet all we have to do is look around us and see what is going on in the world today. In fact, many times in reading news articles relating to certain world situations, I hear the term 1984 being brought up. Things that he wrote about have come to pass. And there are some places today where you are told what to think, what you can say, what you can do, what job you will have, how many children you can have. And it's coming to a point, and it's even been discussed in America, you'll be told how long you can live. When you reach a certain age, you will be euthanized. You'll be put to death for the good of the people. I want you to think about that, folks. And there are people that are proposing things such as this. There was another book written, and I don't remember the name of it, but that's what was taking place. And the age that you had to turn yourself in was the age of 33 years. Now, I don't think that will ever come to pass, but that regards people of senior citizen age, it could come to pass in some parts of the world. Yet the Bible, parts of which were written over 3,000 years ago, tells of events that were to come. Some have been fulfilled since they were written, and others are events that are yet to come. They are events that will happen in our future. Yet some people want to put off the Bible and say, well, it's just a book of fairy tales. It's a fable. But yet, it's held true. Time after time after time, the events spoken of have been fulfilled and will be fulfilled, those that are still in the future. In some cases, events that are spoken about in the Bible were for a people of that time. But they also hold true for the people of our future. Several of the Old Testament prophets gave Israel and Judah warnings of events that were to come if they didn't repent and change their ways. Events that came to pass. And I was reading one example just yesterday, I believe it was. God was speaking to Jeremiah regarding Judah. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16, where he said, pray no more for these people, Jeremiah. Do not weep or pray for them, and don't beg me to help them, for I will not listen. Now that's pretty harsh, but I want you to think about it. There comes a time when God's patience runs out. And believe me, God has a lot more patience than we do. But there comes a time. He goes on in verse 18 talking about some of the things that are going on. He said, the children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes for the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. I want you to look around us today. What are people doing? They are doing things to provoke God to anger. They are doing things that God's Word says are wrong, that God does not tolerate, that God hates even. And another interesting thing here, making cakes to the Queen of Heaven. We've got people who claim to be Christians that are now saying, God is a woman. The Bible totally contradicts that. But for their own purposes and own desires, they want to change what the Word of God has to say. You are a problem sometimes as we try too much to change what God's Word says. We don't want to take it at what it means. By the way, the Queen of Heavens could be translated the Queen of the Air. And we're told that Satan is the ruler of the principalities and powers of the air. What do you think about that? And think about some of the things that the church is doing today. Ira Stamphill, in approximately 1948, I couldn't find the exact date, after some difficulties in his life, wrote the following song, which I'm going to quote a few words from that song. He says, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. The chorus, many things about tomorrow, I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. And some of these words written over 70 years ago hold true for many today. Our thoughts and plans about tomorrow can change forever in the blink of an eye. In fact, James chapter 2, verse 14 says, it tells us life is like a vapor. It's here one moment, it's gone the next. Just a few days ago, there was a news story of an event that happened in the state of Texas. Young couple had just been married by the justice of the peace in the town they were in. They got in their car, pulled out of the driveway, and were involved in a fatal accident, killing both of them. The same man who just a few minutes earlier, as justice of the peace, pronounced them man and wife, now acting as the coroner, pronounced them dead. I'm sure they had great plans for the future, but that future for them lasted approximately 5 minutes. You know, the books of the New Testament were written in the first century AD, yet they give a lot of insight into a future that affects every person living on planet Earth. One of the things that some of the fictional writers of the past have explored is the possibility of extending man's lifespan. And people are working on this today. This is something that's happening in the scientific world today. The possibility of expanding mankind's lifetime by freezing the body when a person dies, freezing their body, keeping it at a sub-zero temperature, and later, when there is a cure for whatever ailment, reviving, thawing out that body, and curing the disease, or possibly even taking the brain from that individual and implanting it in some type of body that they've been able to create by manipulation of whatever. And it's not been possible to do, but they're still working on it. And who knows? They may be able to do something similar to it, but it will not be the life that God had planned. It will not be the life that's human. I want you to think about it. It will not be human life, no matter what they do. You know, there's a secret that has not been found in science, but the Bible declares it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and it says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And the secret to eternal life can be found in the Bible 64 times. The question is asked in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. It says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now that question is also asked in the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, 17, Gospel of Luke chapter 18, 18. Also, they want to know, what can I do that I can have eternal life? The question is asked. And people think about it today, what can I do that I can live forever? There's been movies made about people who managed to cheat death and to live forever. I remember there was one movie made that they had this secret potion that they could drink or whatever it was, and they would continue to live. And in the story, the two people that were doing it, as time went on, their bodies began to decay and fall apart, even though they were still alive. It was a comedy, and of course it was spoofing of what some people are trying to do today. Well, the answer to what must I do to have eternal life starts with a very well-quoted scripture, John chapter 3, verse 16, the best-known scripture in the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans chapter 6, verse 23 goes on to tell us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You want eternal life? There's one way to get it. It's through Jesus Christ our Lord. But you know what? There's something that we don't talk about in church even. Eternal life. We talk about it in our relationship. Going to heaven, being with Jesus. But what we don't talk about is our soul, spirit, never dies. It's going to go somewhere. We're going to get into that in just a moment. And one thing about the eternal life, though, that God is talking about here is, it's not going to be some dilapidated body that we've taken out of the freezer and tried to manipulate into working again. Something like a Frankenstein monster. But it's going to be a new body. A whole new body that never dies, never deteriorates, never has problems, never has sickness, never has disease. This is the body, this is the life that Christians are promised. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory." I want you to think about that. That day is coming if you're a Christian, that you're going to get a new body. It's going to be an incorruptible body. We will be changed. Oh, I know we've talked about it sometimes. What's the body going to be like? And how will we look like? Well, the Bible tells us we shall be known as we were known. So I think we're probably going to look a little bit like we look now. Some people think we're going to look like we're about 30 years old. I don't know. Bible doesn't give specifics on some of that. But we're going to have a new body if we're a Christian. Well, how do you get to that point? That's the important thing. How do you get there? Because that's still in the future. For every one of us that's listening to this message today, we still have yet to get to that point. So how do you get there? John 14, 6 tells us this, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The only way you're going to get there is through Jesus Christ. John 14:1-3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's something that's waiting in the future for us, my friend. If you know Jesus Christ, if you've accepted Him into your heart as your Lord and Savior, those verses tell you what is in the future for you. You know, on a global scale, it talks about the future in Matthew chapter 24, and we're living in those events right now. We're living in a future that was prophesied 1900 years ago. Wars and rumors of wars. Think about it. Every day we hear of wars and rumors of wars. Earthquakes. Earthquakes are happening all around the world. It seems like every day you hear of an earthquake happening somewhere. Oh, maybe it's just a mild little one that can barely be felt, maybe. And so many people are talking about the fact, but it leads up to the big one. Recently, they've been talking about what would happen if the San Andreas Fault along the western coast of the United States breaks loose. The whole west coast could go into the ocean. Volcanic eruption. What if the volcano at Yellowstone, that super volcano, erupted? It could destroy half the United States. Events like that are happening. Famines. We hear of famine in certain parts of the world. Pestilence. We hear of pestilence everywhere. Disease. Those things. Christians being delivered up to be killed. Every day I read in the news somewhere where Christians are being killed for their faith. I've read of one man, and this is a miracle, my friend, one man who was, they tried to burn him at the stake a couple of times and they failed. God delivered him. Hated. As a Christian, you'll be hated. I'll tell you, people are hated today. It doesn't matter what they are. There's hatred. People offended. People get offended over every little thing. All you got to do is say something that somebody wants to take wrong, and they're offended. And they stand up in your face and say, "You offended me." Oh, I've never seen such a group of crybabies as what we have in the world today. False prophets. Oh, I tell you, false prophets abound today. I've seen so many of them in my lifetime that have gotten up there and talked about things and twisted the scripture. Tried to make themselves look like something that they were not. Love is waxed cold. You hear, and I don't know about the rest of the world, but here in the United States in particular, you hear about shootings that's taking place. And I forget, one weekend just recently, we had a couple of mass shootings. We had some other shootings and things that took place. And I know some people want to take the guns away from people because they think that will stop it. It's not going to, my folks. It's only going to make it worse. They're happening because love has waxed cold. They don't care about other people. They only care about themselves. And these are only the warning signs of events that are yet to come. I want you to think about that. This is only warning signs. You see, you have a choice of two futures. What? There are two futures? Yes, there are. The Bible makes it very clear. There are two futures for every man, woman, and child. You have two futures. Number one is the future of eternal life with God. That's what the Bible talks about. If you become a Christian, that scripture we just read in John 14:1-3, He's going to prepare a place for those that believe in Him. Or we can have a future of eternal damnation with the devil and his angels. Now, I know there's some people out there, and some people even in church, that want to say, "Oh, no, hell's not real." Even the Pope, the current Catholic Pope, has said he doesn't believe in hell. Hell's not real. Why should you worry about living for God if hell's not real? Think about that. The Bible makes it very clear it's a real place, and it's a place you don't want to go to. So then the next question is, what path do you take? You have a choice of two futures. One path is accepting Jesus Christ, having an eternal future with God. The other is not accepting Jesus Christ and have a future of eternal damnation with the devil and his angels. It's as simple as that. And I know some don't want to hear that, but that's the two choices. So how do you take the path? Which path do you take? Well, number one, and you're born on this path, you sit back, you do nothing. You do nothing about the two parts of your being that are called your soul and your spirit. We have body, soul, spirit. The body is what dies. The soul and the spirit go on for eternity. So what do? You can sit back and do nothing about those two things. Or, number two, you can do something. And the Bible tells us this. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Very clear. If you don't believe, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have no future except the future of eternity with Satan and his angels. John 10:9 tells us how to get saved. It says, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. You come to me, I'm the way in. And he also tells us he's standing at the door and knocking. If we'll just open the door and let him in, he'll come in and he'll dwell with us. But we have to make that choice. It is a conscious choice. We don't do it without knowing that we did it. We have to make that conscious choice. Acts 2:21 says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to ask him. And sometimes, and I believe this with my heart, sometimes it's not much more than just calling out, Jesus, come into my heart. Because if your soul is crying out, maybe that's the only word you can get out. Sometimes it doesn't have to be verbal. It can be in your mind, in your spirit crying out. Because some people can come to the Lord when they can no longer speak. But you have to make that conscious desire, that conscious cry for Jesus to come into your heart. Acts 15:11. Reading from the New Living Testament, our New Living Translation. We believe that we are all saved the same way, by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're only one way to be saved. We don't deserve it, but Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we can enjoy an eternal future with God, an eternal future with Him. Well, that's doing something. Then, we can do nothing. You're born in sin. You don't have to do anything to change that. If that's the case, then you will not take part in the events that we mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15:51-54 and John 14:1-3 that we just read a few moments ago. We're not going to have that mansion. We're not going to be in the Father's house. We're not going to be changed from mortal to immortality, and what he's talking about there, where we'll forever dwell with him on high. That's not going to happen. You won't take part in those events. However, you will take part in the following. Revelation 20:11-15. And this is an event that right now is over 1,000 years in the future for every one of us. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, And I'll pause here just a moment. These are the ones that chose to do nothing. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's not a bright future. That's not a pleasant way to spend eternity. I know I sure don't want to go through that. I don't want to be standing before God at that judgment. You know, what we don't think about sometimes is every person, young, old, male, female, doesn't matter your color, your skin, is going to stand before God. Every last person that has ever been born will stand before God, one way or another. They'll either stand before God when they go up in the rapture, or when they die as a Christian, they'll stand before God and be in His presence. Or if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you'll stand before God in this great white throne judgment. And it's not going to be pleasant. Well, who else is at this judgment? Let's find out. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Okay, we read 11 through 15. We find out in verse 10, the devil's cast into the lake of fire. And in verse 14, we find out death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Verse 15. That is your future if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's not a pleasant future. So the choice is yours. Which path are you going to choose? Are you going to choose Jesus Christ? Accept Him as your Lord and Savior? Stand before God where you can worship Him for all eternity and live in the place that He has prepared for you, because His Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross so His blood could cover your sin. Are you going to do that? Are you going to do nothing and stand before Him in judgment at the great white throne judgment? Your choice. God sends no one to hell. We send ourselves there. I want you to think about that. And maybe you're listening to me. Maybe you're hearing this message by some various means, over the internet, by CD, however you've gotten it. I want you to think about it. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to give you an opportunity right now where you can say in your heart, I don't want that future of doing nothing. I want Jesus in my heart. And if you want Jesus in your heart, it's easy. Just call out, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know that. Maybe I've done a lot of bad things. Maybe I've not. But I need You as my Savior. I need You to cover that sin that I'm born into. I need You to cover these things, Jesus. Wash it away. Cover it with Your blood. Come into my heart and life. Make me a new creature in You. Jesus, right now I ask You to come into my heart. The Bible tells us if He stands at the door and knocks, we'll open the door. He'll come in. And if you invited Him in, I want you to know that the angels in heaven are rejoicing. And you can go to our website, www.tlhf.us. And we have a page on there about salvation and some of the scriptures that you need to read. If you've asked Jesus into your heart also, If you would, just please, we have a contact us page on our website. Just let us know. We're not going to send you requests for money, this, that, and the other. We'll simply reply to you and welcome you into the family of God. But we're not going to beg you for anything. We're not going to ask you for anything. Just let us know. That's all we ask. Father, I thank you for today for your blessings. I thank you, Father, because I believe someone, somewhere, is going to accept Jesus because of this message today. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.